We ask before thy Spirit, Lord, to be with us this morning in the meditation of thy word. Amen. My dear friends and fellow Christians, I am special because God created me, and there's no one else like me. I am special because God loves me unconditionally. I am special because God loves me for who I am, not because of what I do. God loves me as much as he can, and there is nothing I can do to make him love me more, or for that matter, cause him to love me any less. I am special because God loves me, and he also loves you. Do you believe that? Unfortunately, in the 30 years of my ministry to the chemically dependent, I discovered that there were a great number of people who did not believe that. The psalmist in Psalm 139 helps us to understand just how important we are in God's sight. Psalm 139 verses 1 to 5 and 13 to 18 tell us, Lord, you have examined me and you know me. You know everything I do. From far away you understand all my thoughts. You see me whether I am working or resting. You know all my actions. Even before I speak, you already know what I will say. You are all around me on every side. You protect me with your power. You created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because you are to be feared. All you do is strange and wonderful. I know it with my whole heart. When my bones were being formed, carefully put together in my mother's womb, when I was growing there in secret, you knew that I was there. You saw me before I was born. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them were even began. Oh God, how difficult I find your thoughts, how many of them there are. If I counted them, they would be more than the grains of sand. When I awoke, I am still with you. I was saddened to read the headline in the Milwaukee Journal, which simply said, Murder or Suicide? And then the accompanying article had this to say. Either way, it didn't matter. For one young victim, Annie, the struggle was over. Annie's death came by drowning. But then her killer was a sly one. This killer has used guns and knives, fire, and most frequently automobiles. However, the most insidious method to a slow form of poisoning drawn out over a period of years was alcohol. Annie's killer was alcohol. 69% of all drownings are related to drug abuse. There must have been at least 300 high school students attended a funeral I had 2 weeks before Christmas a year ago. Margie's father had deserted her and her mother and her younger sister and brother early that fall. Margie was hurt and angry and confused. And then one day her friend Chad came to her and assured her that he had something that would help her to feel better. Chad introduced her to pot, to marijuana. It was an instant love affair with her. She again felt good, she could laugh again, she could have fun again. The other classmates of her assured her that she was a lot more fun to be around. The pain of her father's desertion had all but disappeared. And then just 2 weeks before Christmas, Chad jilted her for another girl in the class. And when Margie drove home in her mother's car that evening, she parked it in the garage, closed the garage door, and let the motor run. By the time her mother discovered Margie, she had become another adolescent statistic, death by carbon monoxide. About that same time, there was a picture of a very attractive young blonde girl on the front page of the Wisconsin Magazine, which is the magazine in the Sunday edition of the Milwaukee Journal. The headline read, "Tricia Hsu was a picture of exuberant youth." And then in the rather lengthy article which followed, it said, "But cocaine killed her." Todd DeAntante wanted to party. He's now serving 40 years sentence in Waupun. Tricia Hsu thought she was having fun. Actually, she was about to die. Now, there are Annies and Margies and Tricias all over this country of ours, also abusing and misusing chemicals. Not all of them die prematurely as they did, but all of them, particularly the young adults of our society today, are losing wonderful relationships and opportunities and associations and families. Not all of them are the victims of parental conflict or school conflict or sexual identity crises. Not all of them grew up in an incestual relationship, broken homes, or physical abuse, the things we like to point to as the causes of chemical dependence. Any or all of them may have been contributing factors, but in my opinion at least, an individual's self-worth and self-respect and self-esteem contributes mightily to the decisions they make or that we make in regard to the use or the non-use of a chemical. On a scale of 1 to 10, taking 10 as being the highest, what do you think of yourself at this moment? Where is the level of your self-worth this morning? Are you at an 8, or are you only at a 2? You see, in my opinion, the thing which I think about myself contributes tremendously to what my feeling is about myself. Reminds me of the verse in the proverb which says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." Our experiences and our relationships influence very positively or negatively my self-worth or my self-respect or what I think about myself. For example, let us say you grew up in a household where there was a wonderful, loving parental concern. There was a good sibling relationship. You had a good sense of trust and respect engendered into your daily living. You had a wonderful role model in your parents. You had a good relationship with God. You could identify beautifully with His acceptance of you because of His forgiveness of you. If you grew up in that kind of an environment, chances are your level of self-worth would be at least an 8. Perhaps even higher. On the other side, however, if you grew up in a situation where you have already had a teen pregnancy, an abortion, you grew up in a household with several parents, a divorced or separated relationship, maybe the death of a parent in your formative years. You grew up in a situation where there was a lot of strife and bickering. You had a very negative, maybe even a sports model, or maybe a very negative pastor or teacher role model. You were the victim of incest or rape or physical abuse or perhaps had even attempted a suicide. Then your level of self-worth may be a 2 or perhaps even a minus. And how much are you influenced by what you think other people think of you? There was probably no emotion that has a greater effect upon our sense or our level of self-worth as is the emotion of love. The prophet Jeremiah helps us to understand this when he says, "The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness.'" As people of God, we think of ourselves based upon the knowledge that God our Father has created us. He still preserves us, and He loves us with an unconditional love. And so we can affirm ourselves by saying, "I am special because God created me, and there's no one else like me." As we go to God's Word, we find a numerous number of passages which help us to understand what our valued relationship is to our God. Already in Genesis 1, we are reminded that God created the heaven and the earth, and God created the man, and God created them, male and female, in His image. And just a few verses down, we are told that after God had created all that He had created, He stepped back for a moment, so to speak, and He looked upon all that He had created, and we are told it was very good. One of the counselors at our hospital has a kind of a way of handing out a little plaque to people who seem to not be feeling very good about themselves. And the plaque says, "I'm okay. God didn't make junk. No, He made you and He made me in His own image. What a value He has placed upon us. How that ought to boost our sense of self-worth, knowing that you and I are created in God's perfect image." Think for a minute about something that you have personally made. Whatever it may have been something simple as your first stick man made with your first set of Tinker Toys. Or it may have been your first sermon. And you remember how this was yours and how you wanted to protect it so nobody could mess it up. Think now of how God must feel when He looks upon us as His people, whom He has created in His image. Isaiah helps us to understand this a little better when he says, "But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine." You are so special. You belong to God, first of all, by creation, and then because of sin, He has bought you back through redemption. Paul in Ephesians 2 tells us, "Because of His love, He has saved us from our sins through Jesus Christ on the cross. And He shows us His undeserved kindness through Jesus Christ." I would suggest the next time you decide to go and sit a spell at your own favorite spot of devotional reflection, you might want to reflect on this in attempting to recall all the situations in your own personal life where you were very vividly aware of God's loving care for you. You might want to use as a way of starting each new day with the reminder, "I am special because God created me, and there's no one else like me." So the next time you feel the blahs, or you feel so alone and lonely, and you wish you could just feel a little better, and you are tempted to use a quick fix, just a couple beers, maybe you smoke a joint, snort a line of coke, smoke a bowl of crack, be reminded that all of these will help you to feel a little better for only a little while. And then they will turn on you and destroy you. And so in closing, will all of you repeat after me, please? I am special. Will you repeat after me? I am special. Because God created me. And there's no one else like me. Because God said, I have called you by your name. You are mine. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.